Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Amen. Good morning, people of God, family. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Excited about God and the presence of God within you. You know, I was studying and then also reading Reverend Ike's book about prosperity, the science of living. And I've been doing that during our prayer time. I've been switching off two different books and just reading it and then just discussing it and teaching from it. And so we're on chapter 11 in Reverend Ike's book. And it says, the title of it's From Possibility Path to Reality Road. And he anchors the scripture or the chapter with Mark 10:27, which says, with God, all things are possible. And then Mark 9:23, that says, all things are possible to him who believes. And his principle that he guides this chapter with, he says, when you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God in action. And I thought that was so powerful. Oftentimes we are caught up because we think of God as this entity in the sky and that we're separated from him. And Reverend Ike even talks about that there is this delusion that we think that we're separate from God, but we're not. It's God in us. You know, one of the things that he says in his book is the greatest delusion of mankind is that he thinks he is separate from God. That's the only sin there. Because once man believes that he's separate and apart from God, once man believes that he's not the son of God, then he acts like a son of a gun, right? Every other sin comes from this delusion. So if one believes in his oneness with God, all things are possible. God does not know you as something apart. The infinite does not know you as someone apart from himself. Sorry. Get this. Say that to yourself and focus your whole mind on it. Say it this way. The infinite does not know me as someone apart from itself. God believes in me. And you see, when you as an individual expression of the infinite believe in the infinite and the infinite believes in you, there's a connection of faith and power that is unstoppable. So then he has this affirmation of saying, say to yourself, I believe in God. God believes in me and I'm unstoppable. So we have to get out of this understanding that God is some dude up in the heavens only, and that we're like the little puppet masters, or we're the little puppets and he's the puppet master. And God is saying, no, I am in you. It is the God in you. When you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God in action. Get that. God is in you. It's the power. You have the divine power, the ability, and the equipment within to go forth, to be, to do, and to have all the good, to have all the God that you desire. It's the God in you. It's the God in you. I know Mary has a song that talks about, it's the God in me. It's the God in me. It's the God in you. You can have whatsoever you desire that is in alignment with the path and the will of God for your life. You just not only need to believe it, but then you need to begin to take action in that belief. God is in you. All things are possible. But you must decide what you want and by faith and make it a reality. I'm going to say that again. You must decide what you want, and then by faith and your action, you make it a reality because God is in you. Again, the principle this chapter, I need to go back over, and because we reread Mark 10:27, with God, all things are possible. all things are possible to him who believes. And so when you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God in action. I'm going to say it two more times, because when you do something three times, it's a repetition. And I want you to get this in your consciousness. I want you to get this in your spiritual mind, that when you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God in action. When you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God in action. So many of us are not believing in the presence of God in us. Therefore, we are inactive. Then we don't get the things that we desire because we don't believe, and then we're not taking action in that belief. Does that make sense? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Well, here's the thing. And I'm going to say it, and then we're going to let you pray, and then we're going to go forth. Hallelujah. I believe because of religious tradition.
Absolutely.
We've got people trying to be Christians and not believers. God didn't create us. He created sons. He created sons from himself. And just like you said, you cannot... When the word says, and like, you know, I love this scripture, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. You cannot separate God from his word.
Absolutely.
Just like you can't separate the spirit from the word, and you can't separate the spirit from the Father, because the Bible says these three are one. Three different jobs, but they're one. So I believe today that when we become sons, okay? So, stop trying to serve an omniscient being and just be a son to a father who we should be giving honor by the life that we live. Amen? So, I want to welcome everyone to the Early Morning Daily, the Early Morning Hour of Power with us, Pastor and Prophets Michael and Tanya Bryan of Restore Ministries International, where our ministry, our purpose, and our mission is to restore, renew, and refresh you, the sons of God, with the word of God. Now, what you hear this morning will not be our opinion, but it shall be the word. Why don't you go ahead and pray while I'm trying to finish? And share the broadcast, please. Share the broadcast.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, Father, even as we've come into this revelation this morning, Father God, that, hallelujah, that Lord God, that it is the presence of God in us. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that we, Lord God, it is the oneness that we have, Lord, that when we believe in the presence of God within us, we become God in action. Father, we thank you this morning. We believe in the presence of God within us. Father, we believe that we have the divine power, the ability, and the equipment within to go forth to be, to do, and have all the good that we desire. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, that we are good health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and infinite money. Father, we believe it because we know that you reside in us, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that there is a oneness. There is a oneness. Lord God, we are not separated from you, but we are connected with and in you, oh God. Father, we thank you this morning that we open up our mind. We open up our spiritual mind, our spiritual understanding, Lord God, of all the great possibilities. Lord, we open up our mind and we make a decision for about the good that we want. We see what we want, oh God. Yes. We see ourselves being, doing, and having the good that we want. Thereby, we make reality out of possibility. We see ourselves being, doing, and having the good that we want. Thereby, we make the reality, we make reality out of possibility. I'm going to say it one more time. We see ourselves being, doing, and having the good, the God that we want. Therefore, we make reality out of possibility, because all things are possible to him who believes. And Father, this morning, we believe, Lord God, we believe in the God in us. We believe in the God in us, oh God. We thank you, Lord God. We give you glory. We thank you that right now we're opening up our mind to all the great possibilities. Father God, it is through the presence of God in us, all things are possible. Through the presence of God in me, all things are possible. The mind of God in me gives me great ideas which prosper me and make me successful because of the God in me. The mind of God in me is always giving me new and better ideas. Father, I thank you, Lord God. It is through the presence of God in us, we know it is impossible to enjoy the riches of life. What are the riches of life? Health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and infinite money. We thank you, God, in us. God, we bless you this morning.
Yes.
Father, we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we can decree and declare this morning that God in me is my everything, and I don't have to worry about anything. Father, we program my life for all the good that we desire. God in me is my health. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we are defining and declaring God in us as the answer right now. We are defining and declaring God in us as our all, as our completeness. Father God, we thank you. We are defining and declaring God in us as our health and happiness. Lord God, it's the love of God in our heart that brings us together with all the right people for every right person. Father God, we thank you that our life is running over with success, prosperity, and abundance of money to enjoy and share. We thank you. Thank you, God, in us. Father, we make it our business right now to think right, to feel right, to talk right. We only want good for ourselves and everyone else because we know that we're God's child. We know that we deserve the blessed. We see ourselves as God sees us. We see ourselves as a divine expression of the God presence within me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you that God in us is our everything, and we don't have to worry about anything. And we decree and declare that this is the truth of us. We program our life for all the good that we desire. God, we love you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Lord God, that we are walking in the riches of life, which is health, happiness, love, success, prosperity, and infinite money. God, we love you. We praise you, and we give you glory. We dedicate this time. Father, we pray for the president, Lord God. We pray for the president-elect. Lord God, that your divine will, your divine presence is there. Lord God, we thank you that you hold the kings of the heart in your hand.
The heart of the king.
Yeah, that's what I meant. In your hand. And Lord, our eyes and our mind is set upon you, that you are God and God alone, that you are sovereign, oh God, that you control all. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Now I was smiling and laughing because last week and a couple of days of the week before, the Lord had me connecting how the season of 5785, which is your season of multiplied and abundant grace, you must be connected to his kingdom agenda. Okay? The season of multiplied and abundant grace, you must submit yourself to what God is saying in this season and connect yourself to his kingdom agenda. Now, when you understand that Matthew 6:33, and we're going to hit that here in just a second, says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things shall just be added unto you. See, when you're not seeking the thing, but you're seeking the creator of things, now you're working God's kingdom agenda. See, when you work God's kingdom agenda, it just like, it was funny, with the band that was playing at the place where I was doing sound at last night, Friday night, they were all, they had asked me who I voted for, and then they, you know, they were, you know, all very, very joyful about Trump being elected. And they asked me what I thought about it, you know, as a pastor and this, that, and the other. I said, look, I don't care about Republican or Democrat. I care about what God wants me to do and what God is saying in this season, and what, and whomever he tells me to vote for, that's who I vote for. Because I've voted Republican, I've voted Democrat, but that doesn't make any difference. The Bible says this, that the people rejoice when righteousness is in leadership. See, and right now, our nation needs to be unified because it isn't.
See, very divided.
Leaders are supposed to be unifying the nation, not dividing the nation. Why? Because a nation divided against itself shall utterly fall.
Absolutely.
Okay. Listen, you cannot. This is why Jesus said in the word, look, if you hurt one of your limbs, doesn't the whole body hurt? Because the whole body focuses on that one part that's being affected. See, so listen, let's be about the Father's business today, okay? Let's be about the kingdom agenda, because you were saying something about believing. You were saying, mm-hmm. you know, you were saying, now, and we're going to go here, but let's check this out, because then I want to bring up what a ChatGPT brung up.
So what do you...
Go back. You said something about you had...
when you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God in action?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. Here's the... Oh, my gosh.
So let me say that again.
Say it again.
When you believe, and this is a principle from Reverend Ike's book, Chapter 11, when you believe in the presence of God within you,
come on,
you become God in action.
Okay. Say it again. Say it again.
And I'm going to type it. I'm going to copy it and put it in the thing. When you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God in action.
Can you say that one more
time? Yes. When you believe in the presence of God in you, you become God in action.
See, and this is...
And I just put it in the chat, and then I'm going to put it up here so that you can see it.
Okay. So...
Oh, actually...
See, so let's understand this right here.
Oh, wait.
Now, you said, when you...
It's in there.
When you believe... Now, listen. In the presence of God within you, you become. Now listen, listen.
God in action.
You yep. become. He didn't say man in action.
Let me make sure I get the proper.
He said God in action. You become Elohim in action. You now listen. Why is this key? And why is this God's spiritual kingdom connector? Okay. Now understand this. Correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor and Prophet. Let me turn this down a little bit so I can hear myself a little better. Genesis chapter 1 mm-hmm. says, okay, starting at verse 26, let us create man. How? In our image and after our likeness. How many times you don't put it up in there?
It's not come. Oh, is it coming up?
Yes.
Oh, it was. How come it's not coming up in mine?
Because it's just, you're gonna see it over here. I don't know what's going on with that. What did you do?
Ooh.
Go back in there, babe. You gotta put yourself back in there. So
Genesis, okay, I want to just make sure that we give that statement didn't come from you, Reverend Ike.
You had already given them his prop, but that's okay. Amen. Put yourself back in there, bro.
Oh.
Okay. Now listen. I'm going to type Genesis chapter up in there also.
When you understand this is the word.
Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Okay. We're going to go there. Then we're going to go to Mark chapter 16. Okay. Genesis chapter 1. Now let's break this down really quick here, because this is key, because this is why I believe we are not as strong as a body as we need to be. Okay.
So you're talking about when you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God in action.
Okay. Now, Genesis chapter 1, it says in verse 26, let us create Adam, mankind. How? In our image and after our likeness. And let them have, now the first thing he gave us was dominion. And let them have dominion over what? The fish, the fowl, the cattle, and everything that creepeth. So God gave us his power and ability, and we look like him and we can act like him. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. So if God made us in his image, that means that we are God-like.
Mm.
We are just like God.
Mm.
Okay? Now, if I'm just like God, and God created me in his image and after his likeness, when he created me, I have become the offspring of God, which means I'm a son of God, not a servant of God. I'm a son because I'm created like him. Okay?
Mm.
Masters and slaves are not connected.
Yeah.
Because the slave cannot inherit from the master. Unless the whole family of the master, all the cousins and all them, are totally wiped out. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So now, this is so awesome. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, to those that received him, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. Notice he didn't say servants of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He says, those that receive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In other words, you believe that he was the Son of God. He came, he lived, he died, and rose again just for you, so we can be reconnected back to the Father. I hope somebody's getting this right now. I'm trying to make sure I'm teaching this and not just preaching this. Okay. God, Jesus came as our brother, not as Father, because Jesus is not the Father of God. He's the Son of God. He's the first of many brethren. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? So now, if he connected, if he did all that so we can become sons, if I believe I'm a son, then that means I should be able to look at Dad and say, oh, well, if Dad can do that, so can I, because I'm just like him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Mark chapter 16 says this. And this is key. Trust me, I'm gonna connect this. Okay. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. And he said unto them, this is Jesus preaching.
Mark what?
Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Now remember, you said believe, right?
Yep.
We must believe. Okay.
So when you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God
in action, right?
Yep.
Now, Luke chapter 17 says that the kingdom of God is within you.
Mm.
Okay. Oh, see. Oh, my God. Okay. He said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What is the gospel?
The good news.
The good news. Listen, you're not bastard children. You got a daddy and you got a family. And God did all this that way he can reconnect all of his siblings together back again.
Hmm.
Now, check this out. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that what? Believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, that means you do not recognize your family lineage, shall not, he that believeth not shall be damned. Check it out. And these signs shall follow them that believe.
You're in Mark chapter 16.
Yes. And I'm reading verse 17 right now. In my name, See, if you're not a part of Daddy, you can't use his name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And after he's spoken this, he was received back into the heavens. Now, those that believe, do you really believe that, first of all, and I always say this, stop saying that you're not worthy.
Absolutely.
Stop saying that. First of all, that's what I call false humility, because you take what Paul said, that our righteousness is as filthy rags, out of context. Okay, he didn't say that your righteousness is filthy. In other words, what he was saying is, when you do not have the understanding that your sonship and your connection to the Father is what makes you righteous, is what makes you holy, is what makes you a son of God, it will make you heal whole, that you are debt free, even though you might have some debt right now, that you are whole spirit, soul, and body. See, you are already that, but your belief hasn't caught up to who you already are.
And because your belief hasn't caught up, you're not taking the action. That's because right. Just as Reverend Ike says, when you believe in the presence of God within you, you become God in action.
That's
so
right.
If you're lacking in your belief, you're going to lack in your action.
Okay, so now here's the key. Why is Abraham such a powerful figure in our lineage?
Because he believed and he took action.
Now listen, Abraham, not because of righteousness, okay? His righteousness had nothing to do with him doing all the holy rituals and taking communion seven, walking and flying in the air, levitating and walking on water. It was his belief. The Bible says, because of his belief, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Mm-hmm. And this is why in Galatians chapter 3, it says, if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed. Mm. And a what? Heir. Come on, somebody. See, I'm trying to reclaim my inheritance and my sonship because I was deceived not to believe who I was.
Can I correct you? You're what? Not trying. You just need to be.
Right. You need
There's
to be.
There's no trying.
Right. But you have to learn.
Absolutely.
It says train up a child. Okay. So what do we do? Okay. Now, here's where the faith movement was taken out of context. It's not just a grab it and nab it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because you have to get understanding so faith is activated.
Well, then that's where Romans 12, chapter 2, verse 2. Be ye transformed.
How?
By the renewing of your mind.
Oh, come on now. Now, check this out. I typed into my chat and I said, what is the spiritual, biblical, and prophetic connection of being a believer and a son of God with God's kingdom agenda in 5785?
Wow, that's power packed.
Our season of multiplied and abundant grace. Okay, can we get rid of okay. So now, here's the key. Here's why Jesus was so powerful and effective. And you said it. Jesus was not trying to be holy. He was already holy. Okay? He said, look, I already know who I am. Okay? When he came through the womb, I believe Jesus had his total spiritual hard drive backup already connected. This is why at 12 years old, he was hanging out after they had came to worship God by bringing their feast of Passover offering. It was one of the feasts. Okay. But when you understand that when they left, he stayed in the temple because that's where God was. Hmm. Okay, listen. He stayed where his father was, and he hung out asking and answering questions of the Pharisees. Mm. Now, at 12 years old, he's doing this at 12. Mm. 12, number 12, okay, which means new government, okay? But the number 12 is 1 and the 2, which equals 3, which means obedience or worship. See, he was saying, and then when they came to find him, they said, why did you do this to us? Mm. And he said, wait, don't get it twisted. Why didn't you know that I must be about my father's business? Now, wait a minute. Joseph was right there. Mm-hmm. But yet he disrespected Joseph and said, I was doing my father's business. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't you have realized that? But he didn't say anything else, and he followed them. And you don't hear anything else about Jesus doing anything else until after he's in his adulthood. He finishes his training, because the next time you read about Jesus, he's already coming into his rabbi, his teacher, his master level. Mm-hmm. Okay, come on now. Which means he had to allow himself to be taught of men to go through the same process, okay, of learning the scriptures. Hmm. Now, here is what that said. It says the concept of being a believer and a son of God in connection with God's kingdom agenda aligns with the prophetic significance of the Hebrew year 5785. To understand this, we can explore the themes of spiritual identity, biblical covenant, prophetic insight for believers who walk as sons and daughters of God. 1, your spiritual identity and sonship. In the New Testament, believers are called sons and daughters of God as a designation that indicates a close familial relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Sonship implies inheritance, authority, and responsibility in the kingdom of God. Come on now. You have a responsibility of finding out what is your purpose, what is God's kingdom agenda for your life, and begin to fulfill that purpose. Mm. That's all Jesus did. He says, look, when he told Peter, look, I must go to the cross and die. And Peter, you know, he had just said, you are the Christ. And Jesus said, you've done well. You are now called Peter, okay? Because what? Man or the earth didn't give you this revelation, but my Father in heaven. Then he came around and said, no, you can't go and die. And in the same breath, Jesus says, get behind me, Satan.
We rebuked him, huh?
Right, because you're not about my Father's kingdom agenda. Mm. It says walking in sonship means embracing the character and nature of God, manifesting his love, justice, and power on earth. Wow. This identity calls believers to live in a way that aligns with God's kingdom and purposes.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
Say that last part again.
Walking in sonship means embracing the character and nature of God, manifesting his love, justice, and power on earth. This identity calls believers to live in a way that aligns with God's kingdom and purpose.
So then that goes back to what this whole ministry is about, Restored Ministries International.
That's right. Come on.
We're about teaching people who they really are.
That's right.
So, because there is a level of, we've forgotten who we were.
That's it.
So we then have to go back and understand who we are so that we can walk in that sonship.
That's right.
We can be that son. It's not a matter of us doing something so that we can become, we are already that thing. We're already that son. You are already, again, it's the presence of God within you. Whoa. It's the presence of God within you. As we started off, as Reverend Ike gave us our whole theme for today, It's when you believe in the presence of God in you, you become God in action.
Come on now.
And so many of us are not God in action because we don't believe that we believe, again, like I said earlier, that God is this dude up in the sky and he is dictating everything and we have nothing to do with this.
Well, see, we are trying to relate to an omniscient being or God
instead of humanity.
Right. Instead of relating to him as a father to children. This is what David got right. Even though David did what he did, but he said, "The Lord is my shepherd.
Oh my gosh.
I shall not be in want. He maketh me to lie down in green paths." So he is relating to the Father as someone that he can follow and imitate.
Yeah.
Because the word follow in Hebrew means to imitate, and Greek means to imitate. Okay. See, we've been trying to live a life according to a worldly and carnal knowledge of who we think Christ is, instead of just being sons.
Yeah.
See?
So you have to read this chapter in the book with Reverend Ike, because he talks about divine sonship. And he says, again, there is this concept. One of the things that he says is that, first of all, Christian theologians in particular interpret this text, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son," meaning that Jesus was God's only relative. But I take issue with this. If Jesus was God's only son, what does that make the rest of us?
See?
Ask yourself, am I a son of God or a son of a gun? Right. Uh-huh. And so he's talking divine to me. This text indicates that God so loved everyone that he gave everyone divine sonship.
OK, so see, say it again.
To what Reverend Ike is saying is, to me, this text indicates that God so loved everyone that he gave everyone divine sonship. The only begotten Son of God is the one relationship which each person has with God. And whoever believes in his divine sonship shall not perish, but will enjoy everlasting life. And then he translates, he says, I transliterate everlasting life to mean the living God, the livingness of God.
See.
Is that powerful? So I was just going to have you read this later, but you keep talking about this sonship.
See, and that's all I teach about is how right. We're sons. Why? Because God didn't create robots. He didn't create servant slaves. Okay? He gave the first king of the earth all his power and dominion, and then submitted to that power and dominion. Adam, what do you call this? Adam, what do you call this?
Yeah.
Adam, what do you call this? And whatever Adam called it, not the Father, it was whatever Adam, his son, called it. This is why Jesus was able to multiply the fish and bread. Why? Because the Bible says that when he got the fish and bread from the young lad, that he looked up to the Father, he gave thanks and said, "I thank you that you always hear me." See, fathers know their son's voice.
Listen to this. If you know God as your Father, immediately this puts you in line to receive all the goodness, all the riches, and all the blessings of God.
Oh, see, come on now.
When you know God as your Father,
see,
that's what we're missing.
That's it.
Powerful.
Hold on here. I'm trying to.
I mean, you have to read this chapter.
Wow.
It confirms everything that you're saying about this idea that we're sons of God and we don't remember that.
See, and that's the thing. So when Jesus died, okay, let's just see, because they don't believe me. So.
No, they believe you.
No. I see, because I want you to really, brethren. I think this is how we spoke. Is that how we speak? No, brethren. Okay, now listen. Romans chapter 8. See, I don't give you my opinion. I give you what's given in the word. And a brother Doug says, "Amen. Give me peace with every step. Though they may not be easy, give me the steps that God wants me to take and the privilege to do so. Thank you, Father. Absolutely believe in the presence of God." So you are so right, Brother Doug, because this is what God is saying in this season. Okay, Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to type this into the little thing. Okay, Romans chapter 8. Now remember. If Jesus was the only son, there was no reason for him to come and die. Why would God?
Yep.
If why would God so love his slaves that he would cause his most valuable possession to be killed, to go through that whole process, if it wasn't to bring family back home? Romans chapter 8. Now, check this out. This is my brother Paul. Check it out. Verse 28 and 29. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called. Now, yeah. I know I want you to underline that phrase, the called, according to what? His purpose. For whom he did foreknow, had previous knowledge and intimate relationship with, he also did predestinate. He also created a path for them to walk, to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Mm. He said many. And he didn't say slave servants. He said brethren. The word brethren in the Greek is the adelphos of God, which means a brother, whether born of the same two parents or only of the same father or mother.
So it says in the Amplified, it says so that he would be the firstborn, the most beloved and honored among many believers.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. Having the same national ancestor, belonging to the same people. Woo! A fellow believer. Come on now. And brethren in Christ, his brothers by blood.
Wow. And
now, why do we receive communion? So we can take the blood of Jesus that is being transfused in our being. So, come on now.
It's a supernatural thing because that blood connects us.
That's right. This is why when you go to the hospital, they just can't give you any blood.
Come on.
It must be the same blood type.
Wow. Woo!
Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. So now, oh, my God. This is so good.
Because you get bad blood, it could kill you.
It will kill you because it will begin to fight against itself.
Wow.
See, I have a medical background. Ooh. I was a pharmacy technician and an EMT up in the military. So when you understand blood, okay, but there is one blood which is O positive that you can go and give it to everybody, and it will work in every system. Mm-hmm. See, the blood of Christ, the blood that He shed, universal. Glory, and the Bible says, there will, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Woo! Come on, somebody. Woo! The Bible says that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Can I get somebody to type, I believe.
I believe. Now, hallelujah.
See, that was just part one. Number two, the biblical covenant and kingdom agenda of God. God's kingdom agenda is often understood through the lens of the covenant, a divine agreement between God and his people. In the Old Testament, these covenants with Noah, Abraham, David, and the new covenant through Christ set forth God's promises and expectations for his people to be a light to the nations. Okay? Believers who embrace their identity as sons and daughters of God are called to live according to God's word, advancing his agenda of love, justice, and reconciliation on earth. By walking in covenant, they embody God's will and reflect his kingdom values. Now, Genesis chapter 12 that he mentions right here is the reconnecting. Because God made a promise. He said, look, I'm not just going to kick you out of the garden without giving you a promise of return. He says that your seed, because your seed is going to step on the neck and the head of the enemy. This is why God's kingdom agenda is seed time and harvest. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. You sow a seed, you reap a harvest. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 12, and I'm just going to go here right here. Come on now. Woo. Now, look. Ho, ho. I got to type this right here. See, you've been trying to see. Oh, my gosh. Woo. Listen. And Jesus said it, and I'm going to show you this promise through the covenant of Abraham. Jesus said, because of your traditions.
Yeah.
Because of your human tradition, you make the word ineffective. But remember, Paul said that the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. So once you get a promise or a word from the Father, you listen, it isn't if, it already is, and it's just you have to catch up with the promise. Genesis chapter 12. Look at what the Father says to Abram. He wasn't even Abraham yet. Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from your kindred, and from your father's house unto a land, a territory, a place of dominion that I will show you. He didn't even give him a destination. He wanted to see if he was going to believe it. Oh, come on now. And I will make, okay, here's the covenant. Okay, if you do this, I will make of thee a great nation. And he was still talking, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and in all families of the earth shall, and because of you, all families shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord has spoken to him. Did you see it?
See what?
God gave him a promise, and immediately Abram, what? He put action to it.
So I was just getting ready. So we said,
when you believe, come on,
in the presence of God within you, you become God in action.
Now, Abram is hearing a voice he's never heard before. He's hearing a voice from someone he can't see. But it wasn't coming from the outside. It was coming from within him. Oh, come on, somebody.
Yes.
It didn't say God came down and spoke to him and he heard.
Wow.
Look at what it said. Now the Lord had said unto Abram.
What verse are you at?
Verse 1.
Okay.
Now the Lord had said unto Abram.
Wow.
And the Lord had said unto Abram. See, God, listen, when God spoke to Moses, it was a physical appearance of God. See? Oh, come on now. See, I want you to get this. When he spoke to Abram, the voice was coming from within Abram, not outside of Abram. Ooh.
Wait, but didn't God, is this the same place where he was in the bush?
No. That ain't even happened yet. That's in Exodus.
Oh, okay.
See, God had to establish Abraham first, because this is where the covenant that they believed after 400 years. Okay, this is what, and God speaks to Abraham. He said, look, your people are going to be in slavery for 400 years, but I'm going to deliver them. Why? Because God, see, how do we know that God was speaking within him?
Okay. Yeah, that's, how do you know that?
Okay. Because according to where Abram was residing, he was residing in the land of Ur.
Mm-hmm.
And these were idol worshipers.
Ah.
See, he had to do something different.
Wow.
Than the traditions of that nation. See, they worship idols.
Wow.
That wasn't talking to them. See, he changed the whole script and said, I'm not going to let you see me. I'm going to see if you can just believe my voice. My sheep hear my voice. You will always hear the voice within you first before you read it in the word. Woo, the voice comes first.
Oh, the presence of God in you.
Okay, let me just prove it. The Bible says this. Here's how you receive salvation. If you shall confess with your mouth and believe where? In your heart.
And that's really your mind.
Your subconscious that you cannot see. This is
wow.
the process of the covenant. This is the process of the promise. This is, whoa, come on. If somebody, you better type it is so. No. Type, I believe it is so. Come on now.
Yes.
Because remember, in this season, it's going to be your season of multiplied and abundant grace. Your grace has to be abounded where sin has abounded. Oh my God. Woo, are you getting this? Woo, my God. There it is. Oh my God. He says, now listen, if you do this, I will do this. He says, if you follow my voice, this is what I'm going to do.
Wow, powerful.
God doesn't show himself to Abram until chapter 15 when he makes Abram do a physical offering unto him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Why? Because all this time he's been following his voice. And now when you go back to Mark, he says, and it says, now we just read this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Not see. It didn't say see. It says believe. I'm going to say it again.
When you believe something, you think it to be so.
Wait. When you believe something,
you think it to be so.
You think. So Abram, when he heard the voice, which means it was a different voice than the false prophets of that time.
Yeah.
It was a different voice. He had never heard that type of voice before. He heard the voice and he acted. He responded. Woo! Come on now.
Amen.
He says, if you will receive my voice, I will give you my power to become sons of God.
Yeah.
See, we've been trying to become Christians and not sons. I will say it again. The world gave us the title Christians, not God. God called us sons. He said, oh my God. I'm trying to get to my brother Paul. Come on now. I want you to get this. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Now remember, we've been talking about you believing. Your belief calls you to action. Check this out.
When you believe in the presence of God, you become God in action.
There you go. But when the fullness, this is Galatians chapter 4. Where are we? Okay, and we're going to have to end here for today. But when, oh my God, we have to see. Okay, y'all know this is my favorite scripture. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 4. Because I want you to see this, and then we're going to sow seed because you're going to. Now listen, when you begin to change how you sow seed, and you sow seed as sons of God, okay. Galatians chapter 4, it says, now I say that the heir, verse 1, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now, this is Paul making the distinction. Stop calling yourself servants. I want you to see yourself as the divine offspring of your father. But he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father, he didn't say God. Even so, when we were children, see how he keeps making these familiar references? We're in bondage under the elements of the world.
Family, yeah.
But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, capital S, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of what? Sons. And because you are sons, and because you are sons, he didn't say you were trying to be sons. He said, because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit, capital S, connecting the Holy Spirit of his Son into your what? Hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant. You are no more a servant. You are no more a servant, but a son. Mm-hmm. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Wow, that's powerful.
Okay, now listen.
Hallelujah.
I know you might have been going to ministries and churches, and you've learned how we need to be servants to one another. And you know, I'm not trying to disavow you from everything of traditional belief, because that's what got you to where you are. Okay, mm-hmm. But God wants you to elevate your revelation of Him, not to just see Him as an omniscient being that you can never be connected to. Mm-hmm. But you are connected by sonship. You are connected by family. You are connected by blood. You are connected.
Yeah.
You are connected. You are connected. Because the Bible says, and God breathed into an Adam.
Yeah.
And Adam became a living soul. God transferred his breath. God transferred his living substance of who he is into the shell that would house the spirit and the soul. Come on now, are you getting this? Mm-hmm. See, don't let your tradition of religion keep you from your inheritance and lineage connection to your Father, because it keeps you from receiving everything that God promised you. Come on, somebody give God a praise.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to go right here. We're going to go right now. Because now you can say, I wish above all things that you may as prosper and be in health, even as your soul prosper. God wants to prosper your soul today. Okay? Yeah. So he says in Genesis 8:22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. I'm going to say it again. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. One more time. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease. See, this is what God was trying to establish. The covenant is, when you sow seed, stop hoping and believing you're going to get something in return. The promise is, because you sow seed, you have a right to a return.
Wow.
See, when you have a right, when you understand your rights, now you can argue against anything that misrepresents the kingdom agenda, which is your sonship. Amen. Yeah. Come on, can you tell the people the first way to sow?
Yes, you can sow to Restored Ministries International. There are a number of ways you can do. The first way is through PayPal. You can use our handle at Restored, M-I-N-I-N-T-L, or you can take your smartphone device, use your camera app, and take a picture of that QR code, and it'll direct you right to the website. You all, second way you can sow is through Zelle. You can use our email, restoredmenintl@gmail.com. It is a banking app. And so from your bank to our bank, using that email, it's very safe and very secure. The next way that you can sow is through Cash App. We are upgrading our technology, so we are giving you different ways to sow. And even as we're in this new era, And our president-elect, you know, he has vowed to take us into a new technological era, you know, so, and that's coming, regardless whether it was him or anybody else, that's coming.
That's it.
And so, so we are striving to be a part of that technology.
That's
and
right.
The church has a problem because we're behind.
That's right.
We should be leading. And anyway, so because of that, we have Cash App. So you can use $RestoredMI, our handle, $RestoredMI. Make sure that you use that exact handle. The third way, or the fourth way that you can sow, is you can go onto our website, to www.restoredministriesint.org. There is a link there that you can sow, because you need to understand, the seed leaves your hand, it leaves your account, but it will never, ever leave your life, and it will reproduce, as you were talking about.
That's right. Now, one of the most powerful ways of giving is when you give it straight into the hand of the priest or prophet.
That's right.
Ezekiel 44. Now, God becomes, see, Cain and Abel, why is that teaching so powerful? Mm-hmm. Because God was the first one to receive the offering.
So he was the first one to receive a terumah?
Yes.
Wow.
He was the priest.
That's right.
Because they had to offer it unto him. Yeah. Now, how do we know that they were taught this by Adam and mm-hmm. Eve? Because the word said at the time, it was time for them to make the offering unto God. Yeah. See, when you understand this, see, we've been missing things because the enemy's been trying to make it dark and hidden, okay? Mm-hmm. But God became the first priest, okay? Then we understand that Moses imparted the priesthood into Aaron.
Yeah.
And that's where we become in the Aaronic mm-hmm. priesthood. Then we understand that the Levites came and they were the living priesthood that mm-hmm. would take care of the temple. And then we learn about the sons of Issachar, which were the priests that would have to understand the times and the seasons of God. Mm-hmm. But then the Bible says in the New Testament that Jesus is our high priest.
Yeah.
Why? So when we give to the priest, Ezekiel 44:30, mm-hmm. and the first of all first fruit of all things, and every terumah, every oblation of all, of every sort of your terumah, shall be the priest.
Yeah.
Okay? You shall also give unto the priest the first of your dough, that he, the priest, may cause, speak the blessing to rest in your house.
So this was a divine strategy that God set up so that the blessing would remain in the people's house, because the priests, they lived off of the terumah that the people gave.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the ways God did. And so God then says, okay, I want you all to give at least 2.5% or more of your increase to the priests so that they may be sustained. And when they do that, then they will speak unto me, and then I will cause the priest will pronounce the blessing, but then God it durosha,
because they're connected.
Yes, God then says, okay,
my sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
But then the sheep, then but also the father,
yes,
can hear the voice of his sons,
yes,
returning back to him. Now what's the word say? My word shall not return to me
void.
Come on.
But it shall go forth.
So when you speak the word of God back to him, God must fulfill what he spoke, because it can't return empty.
So then when the priests begin to speak the names of the individuals, does that become the word of God?
That's right. See, oh my God.
And so then God goes forth
by name
and honors his word.
That's right. Now listen.
Whoa.
Just to prove that point.
Wow.
Please get this. The Bible says, what happened there? The Bible says that Jesus' name is above all names. But it didn't say that God doesn't honor the names that he's given us.
Wow.
Come on, get this. When he hears your name,
ah,
he has to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 and remember the promises that he spoke,
yeah,
all the way through your lineage.
So this is a divine setup. And so then the enemy in you would want you to think, oh, they just want more money from me. And you don't understand the divine principle. Wow, this is powerful.
Look, we sit with Christ where? In heavenly places. So if we're seating, God has billions of thrones of authority in heaven. Okay, we sit with Christ. So when he hears that name, he has to go back to creation and remember what he spoke according to that name.
Wow, 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 wow.
So now, see.
So. To sow your terumah, according to Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 30. Did you want to say something?
The power of the sowing into the hand. Now listen, as Prophet Tanya explain.
Yes.
I'm the priest of this ministry.
That's right.
God has to have someone responsible.
That's right.
Abraham was responsible to carry the purpose of the covenant to the next generation. Noah and his 8 children became responsible to handle the remultiplying of the earth. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on now. Moses was responsible for getting the children out of Egypt, and so on and so on. Jesus became responsible of returning back all of the Father's children back to salvation. So when the lad gave Jesus the fish and bread, mm-hmm. he was giving him a teruma.
I had to, while you was talking, I had to sow my teruma unto you. Now, this is powerful.
Now listen. I'm going to share this because y'all know we all about Prophet Tanya. She just finished her master's of social work. And what else? It's just master's of social work. And listen, she's working in that path of purpose right now.
Yeah.
Listen, the Father has called your priest and prophet to go back to school again. And the Lord has called me in this next step to go and get my master's of fine arts, an MFA, because I believe that my next level
in composition,
right, in a music composition, I believe that my next level is to teach on the collegiate level, and you need what's called a terminal degree. Mm-hmm. It's the doctor's degree of the fine arts. Okay. Mm-hmm. And listen, I just got accepted.
Amen.
To the Vermont College of Fine Arts, which is in partnership with Cal Arts, okay, out in California. And I need to raise up $400 at least, so that way I can take care of the app. I got to do a deposit to take care of. I'm already accepted, but I have to send $400 at least in order to start my financial aid and get me into the system. So listen, to those who will sow directly into my Cash App or Amen. My Dell or my yes. PayPal. I want to pray right now that as you sow the seed, okay,
yes.
sow your best seed. If you want to sow the whole $400,
yeah.
praise God. If you want to sow $1,000, whatever it is, I need this taken care of today. So that way it needs to be done by the 15th. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm believing that if I've been a son of God yes. in your life to speak the blessing of the Lord, to speak the word of God, to give you clarity and understanding,
yeah.
then it's my responsibility yeah. to say, listen, if you sow into this ground,
yeah.
I know you will reap a generous harvest in return.
Amen.
Amen. So can you tell them how to
yes.
sow?
Yes. So the way you sow your teruma into the man of God's hand, there are a number, according to Ezekiel chapter 44:30, that we just talked about. The first way you can do it is through PayPal. You can use PayPal using his email, PastorMichaelDBryant@gmail.com. Again, PastorMichaelDBryant@gmail.com. The second way that you can sow that seed, your teruma, into the man of God is through Zelle, using Michael@R2Productions.com. Michael@R2Productions.com. The third way that you can sow is through his Cash App, using $ProphetMDBryant. Again, $ProphetMDBryant. Remember, the seed leaves your hand and your bank account, but it never, ever leaves your life.
And praise God. Listen, I want to thank you for joining in.
Yes.
Listen, you are sons, okay?
Yeah.
If you didn't get anything else today, get the understanding that you are a son of God.
Yes.
And you no longer have to walk in the dark. Okay.
Amen.
My sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
Okay. He says in Ephesians that the eyes of your understanding.
That's right.
Be enlightened. Okay.
Yeah.
Walk in the revelation of you are a son, and you don't have to just take anything.
Yeah.
But you can receive everything from understanding that when you hear his voice and act,
yeah.
you're walking in the power of God. Amen.
Amen.
Be blessed. And we'll see you next week.
We love you.